Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Well, let's continue now with that conversation around Donald Trump's inauguration, because we had the flurry of executive orders, a bombastic inauguration speech, a clutch of tech bros, and a now famous boater hat. Donald Trump marked his first day in office as the 47th President of the United States by signing a range of executive orders which made sweeping changes to the economy, immigration and climate change policy. Sarah Firth is a freelance foreign correspondent in Washington, and she's on the line now. Sarah, thank you for being with us. The ceremony itself was a sight to behold, moved indoors, of course, due to the cold weather. And the president was cheered on by a group of political and business elites. Now, you were there watching on from very close by. Set the scene for us, Sarah, if you can.
Yes, well, it was a different inauguration because it was held inside the Capitol building due to the snow. We all woke up to a snowy start to the inauguration day. The Capitol was kind of on lockdown, really. You had very, very high security, understandably, and it had been moved inside because of the freezing temperatures. And then you had Donald Trump sworn in as the 47th president of the United States, promising the golden age of America. And as you said, he started his presidency signing a series of these executive orders. And I'll talk you through some of the big ones. He declared a national emergency on the US southern border. He temporarily prevented a TikTok ban from coming into force. He began the process of withdrawing from the World Health Organization. He also began the exit from the Paris climate deal. And probably the most controversial of those executive orders signed was the pardoning of those involved in the January 6th Capitol riots. And it was a surreal moment, actually, because I've been reporting back in 2021 on the January 6th Capitol riots. I was there in the middle of it, you know, in what people had called an attack on democracy. And here we were in 2025, and Trump is back. He's the 47th president of the United States. He's pardoned those involved in the riots. And as we said, he's promised this golden age of America. And he really, you know, he hit the ground running, signing this huge series of executive orders.
Mm-hmm. And we saw that each of those measures, when he announced them during his speech, were greeted by cheers from his supporters. The other side, the Democrats that we could see in the room, remained silent. It seemed like it was an extraordinary atmosphere in there.
It was, and it was so interesting seeing former President Biden, Kamala Harris, their faces, you know, just very straight faces. You had President Trump in his inauguration speech talking about the sort of corrupt establishment. You know, there were some direct attacks on former President Biden himself and his administration, that they remained very straight-faced. You're right. Look, in the days leading up to the inauguration, there were actually a series of victory rallies and parties, you know, speaking to some of the Trump supporters there and the Republicans. There was just this mood of jubilation amongst them that Trump was back and for what was to come. Mm-hmm. But look, this is taking place in the context of a divided America. And it can sound a bit of a cliche to say that, but you had this roller coaster of an election period. You've now got Trump sworn back in as president of the United States. And, you know, these executive orders, when it comes to things like the emergency at the U.S. southern border, I can tell you that people are going to be looking very closely now at the potential for mass deportations. You know, Trump himself yesterday signaling, we've also had new members of his administration signaling, that could start very, very quickly. And so, you know, some of these big announcements that he's made that play very, very well to his core supporters, that could have real life impact on millions of people in this country, and potentially very, very quickly in the coming days and weeks. So we're sort of going to be looking at what these announcements that he's made and these executive orders that he's made, what that means in practice. You know, some of those things are going to face legal challenges. And I can tell you, you know, there was a moment yesterday, one of the journalists sort of with a world-weary sigh said, you know, now Trump is back, it's just going to be so busy and chaotic. and sure enough, he's already taken to Truth Social to announce in very Trump style that he's firing some Biden administration officials. So, Trump is back.
He is full steam ahead. Sarah, thank you very much for being with us. I'm also joined by Jackie King, who's Executive Director of IBEC Global. Jackie, welcome to the programme. Now, we know, and Peter Burke referred to this earlier, Ireland has the largest trade surplus with the United States. And Howard Lutnick, who was Trump's nominee for Commerce Secretary, has previously said, singled out Ireland really, saying that this trade surplus is nonsense and it's at the expense of Americans. So the fear is that Ireland could be in Donald Trump's sights and his administration might be putting real pressure on multinationals who are here. What's your view on that, given what you heard yesterday?
Well, I think it's important to take a step back. I mean, a lot of this is rhetoric that is intended to create chaos and a little bit of a diversion. And I think before we get caught up in all of that and what it means, it's important to remember a couple of things. One, that I deal with international businesses every day and have been, particularly over the past year, in looking at what this could mean for them. And, you have to give CEOs some credit here. They look at long-term investments and some of these things that that are coming out of Lutnick and others about bringing American businesses back to the U.S. are, bigger undertakings than people realize. It's not just a matter of changing your address and moving your people over. So they've been scenario planning, risk planning, and have scenarios to deal with tariffs, to deal with all kinds of pressures, and they've been working behind the scenes to build those relationships. So that's one thing to keep in mind. Mm-hmm. The other thing to keep in mind is that the opportunity for what this means for Ireland and Europe now, and maybe it will light a fire under the European leadership that we need to get on with some of the recommendations from the Draghi report that's come out to make us more competitive. And the final thing that I'll say about all of that is that businesses don't make long-term decisions based on short-term scenarios of instability. And right now, we think that this is a four-year administration. It's actually 2 years when you look at the midterms coming up and the fact that Trump doesn't have a significant majority, and that could change in 2 years, as well as all of these executive orders are subject to legal challenges.
So when you hear Donald Trump say tariffs are going to make us rich as hell, it's going to bring our country's businesses back that left us, Jackie, are you saying you don't believe him?
It's not that I don't believe him. Strategic use of tariffs and trade policy can certainly make a country succeed, but it's not that I don't believe that it'll make him great again or make America great again or do all of those things. I'm talking about being practical. And I think one of the things that we've been good at in Ireland and certainly in the business community is taking a step back, being the voice of reason and not knee-jerk reacting to what is political campaign and first-day rhetoric.
Okay, Jackie, good to have you with us. Jackie King there from IBEC Global. Let's go to Jennifer Ewing now of Republicans Overseas. And I'm also joined in the studio by Patty Shields from Democrats Abroad. Welcome to you, Patty, and to you, Jennifer. What struck you about yesterday's spectacle? What did you walk away thinking that's the headline for me? Jennifer,
are you
there?
Are you coming?
Hi.
Oh,
yes,
sorry,
I am Jennifer.
I didn't know if you said Jennifer. Yeah.
No.
Sure,
I'm just asking you, as a Republican, what did you come away with from that yesterday?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I was very pleased with the result. I think we could say it's the greatest political comeback in history, at least in recent history. It was a much shorter speech than we're used to for Trump, which I think in a good way made it punchier, made his points stand out. It was more serious. It was more focused. And as much as people are calling this Trump 2.0, I think he's a different man in many ways. I think he's had 4 years to learn from many of the mistakes that he possibly made, you know, during his first term. I also think he's surrounding himself with completely different people. This is going to be a much more populist administration, even within the Republican Party in the lead up to this. Mm-hmm. You know, there were struggles. This is more libertarian. He's brought some Democrats on board. And he's, you know, these are not necessarily his mandates and his policies. Rather, it's what the American people voted for. Okay. Border security, economy, and sort of backing out of being the world's policeman.
Can I ask you specifically what you make of the decision to pardon the January 6th people? Because I was reading about one of them today, who's a former FBI agent. His name is Jared Wise. He was charged with confronting officers at the Capitol building. He called them Nazis. He encouraged a mob of Trump supporters to kill those officers, and he has been pardoned. Are you troubled by that?
Look, I haven't had the chance to go through every single one of, I believe it's what, 1,500 or so of the 1,600 people. A lot of these people did serve time. The only thing I'd say about January 6th is I think we need to watch this space. I mean, as you saw, Biden gave a pardon to the police officers involved and the J6 committee. I think that was very, very interesting because they hadn't been charged with anything yet. So I think we need to watch this space with regards to J6.
Let's come to Patty then. As a Democrat, Patty, I'm sure you were interested in the fact that 8 years ago we saw lots of people turning out at the inauguration who were opposed to Donald Trump. Where were they yesterday?
Do you know, I think there's a good pause. You know, I think there was a lot of rhetoric around resistance last time. And I think this time, I think we know it's a marathon. We know there's a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done at the granular level within the party. And I think rather than getting all wound up in the rhetoric of the day and the moment, that clearly Donald Trump has mastered the art of theater and media. It's more a time of reflection and taking a look at the road ahead, certainly keeping our eyes wide open, the target of the midterms in 2 years, and understanding what the party needs to do to really rebuild its credibility with the electorate.
But have you time to do that, given that you're dealing with somebody, from your point of view, this guy is hitting the ground running. He has his team very much in place, all of those executive orders yesterday. He is raring to go, and the Democrats are sitting back and saying we need some time.
Yeah, I say we need time, but, you know, we need to do the work while we're in tandem with this. You know, he does within the House, I think there's only 5 seats of advantage to the Republican Party. So, you know, looking at the midterms coming ahead, what the Democrats need to do is really take a look at how he executes on these policies and what the impact of these executive orders and these policies are on the issues that he won on. And number one being the economy. If these tariffs come into play, if the economy is disrupted by immigration, some of the populations that are going to be affected by that, is there a trickle-down effect within the economy? Those are the things that the Democrats can take immediate hold of and hold the administration accountable to.
Do you think that might be a side effect, Jennifer, of that executive order on immigration, you know, an emergency at the border with Mexico, that if these mass deportations happen, that that could have an economic effect on the United States?
Well, I'll tell you, as we know, Trump won. You know, one of the top few issues that he won on was securing the southern border. And I'll point you to a New York Times poll that basically said 80% of Americans support deporting illegal criminals. So these are going to be very targeted. It's going to people, these are not people who are additive to our society. These are people who are not only here illegally, but have committed further crimes. So that's something that even Democrats want to see. So I think it's not going to be Trump kicking down the door of some abuela who's been a cleaning lady for the last 30 years, minding her own business. That's not what's going to happen.
Okay, can I just ask Patty about that?
Because you're rational. You come across so rational saying you guys want to take time to reflect. as an American, you know, and we know it's a 50-50 country, I would have loved to have had a better choice in candidates this time than we did. So I love to hear that she and her party are reflecting.
Just on immigration, what Jennifer says there is that Democrats support deporting people who are illegally in America and who have committed crimes. Is that true and fair?
I mean, I think if crimes have been committed, but I think the executive order he signed yesterday that affects, you know, and excludes birthright citizenship shows that the immigration policy that he's going for affects more than just the hardened criminals that we keep talking about.
These are the children born in America of people who are not American citizens. They will now be subject to deportation.
Correct. And or they won't even be granted citizenship at birth, which has always, it's enshrined in the Constitution. So I do think there are going to be constitutional challenges to some of these executive orders, that one being, but I think that indicator of that being signed yesterday in tandem with the rhetoric around immigration shows that it is larger than just criminals that we're talking about.
All right. Listen, we've got to leave it there. Thank you both for being with us this morning, Patty and Jennifer. And we'll have more on the United States later on in the programme. But after the break, the UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer has launched an inquiry into the Southport attack. We're going to get the latest on that after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.